that.
Okay.
The second part of the reading is going to be violent.
Thanks so much to Paul for the invitation to be with you today. This is a little emotional for me because one of my ancestors comes from quite close to here. I've never been here before, and so I've just been thinking about origins, and I think that some of my poems I feel are given to me by maybe by people who came before me, and so I feel very grateful to be here and in your presence and with you together. So without further ado, could I have the four people who are going to help me read a poem? This first poem is called Cell Phone.
Come here, Jamie. I have a new friend. His name is Jamie. Welcome, everybody. Amy's from up the coast as well, so we're all here together.
My family.
Well, yeah.
Wait, which one am I doing?
You're doing this one. Okay. So. Okay. One, two, three, go. You are wanted. You are not alone.
What are you?
You are wanted.
What?
You are not alone.
I'll never leave Guantanamo.
Someone needs to answer me now. Someone needs me to answer now. Someone needs me alone and no one else to answer now.
With her life, she is getting older, but I will never leave.
I wait
for
Guantanamo.
No.
You are
no.
Her.
No. Oh, hell no.
I will take in charge
this
same
class this onto my wife.
Hello? I have to take this call.
Move on.
I have to take this call.
I'll never leave Guantanamo.
You are wanted.
She must understand.
What? You are not alone.
I'm not abandoning her.
You are wanted.
I love her.
You are not alone.
She must move on.
Someone needs to answer me now.
She's getting older, but
someone needs to answer now.
Guantanamo.
Someone needs
me
alone and no one else to
move on with her life.
I watch.
Hold on.
I watch.
Say it again.
I wait for you.
No.
For you alone.
No.
I text.
No.
I sell.
Oh, hell no.
I tower above alone.
Yes, I can hold.
I am wanted. I have to take this call.
Thanks, guys. Nice.
Can you stay around for one more? Mr. Dave, can you stay around for one more?
Oh, wait, now?
Yes. Hey, get your phone out. So that's called Cell Phone. That's from a book called Sand Opera, which is a meditation on living during a time of war. I hope you get that one. This is a poem which the title of which comes from the Arabic Ahlan wa Sahlan, which means literally it means welcome, but like its origins mean you have come upon people who are like family, and this is an open space. Ahlan wa sahlan. So this poem is written from right to left. It's called the Arabic form, and in order to give you a flavor of that, I'm asking Dave to read it from left to right and me from right to left, and we'll just alternate. So you're going to start.
I'm going to start?
Yeah.
No, cannot I
cannot know.
And will this
how this will end?
Both are we though.
Though we are both
air different in breathing.
Breathing
flesh,
in different,
different
air.
Of planets.
Planets of different
stop.
Flesh.
Won't I?
I won't stop.
Hands, my
holding my hand
towards
you. Ahlan wa sahlan.
People upon come.
You have who have
you.
Come upon.
Family like are who.
People who are like
space
family.
Open this.
This open space.
This
open this space.
You welcome I that.
That I welcome you.
Turn to.
To turn away
stay
from.
Stay to.
Unless you wish
unless
to stay,
choose your
rest and remove your shoes.
Rest.
We lean into your speak.
Into lean. We
tender,
slake
to slake.
Tender
and fullness
to fullness.
Eat.
And
you are the end of my beginning.
Beginning
the beginning of my
beginning,
end.
The end of my.
Uh-huh.
You did that great. We've never practiced that before, but I thought yours was the best of my few collaborators.
I
so.
Bet you say that to all the collaborators.
It's been really fun traveling with Dave. We were up in
Northern Ireland, taking around a group of students to study the troubles and study the ongoing conflict transformation such as it is up there. This is the fifth time I've done this trip, and it never ceases to make me weep to hear people who've lost family members and have been in places of great grief and rage move through a process of change, of transformation. Not everyone is like that, of course, but there are a few that that never cease to wreck me and to remind me of what's possible in being human. One of the, I'd be curious to know, do you all use the term what whenever to mean some action that's repeated or something that's happened once?
Whenever.
Whenever means at some point.
Yeah.
So, but it's probably happened more than once.
Well, it's you're talking about it's a measure of time.
Measure of time. Yeah.
Temporary,
right.
Temporary measure.
Well, in the States, we tend to use whenever as to indicate a consistent action in the past. We call it or present, imperfect tense, right? But in Northern Ireland, they say whenever to mean with something that happened once, like when something happened. And this struck me as a little bit strange. And in light of the way in which the past is very present there still, despite the fact that we're 20 years into a peace. And I met a guy whose father died in a Skillin bombing in 1987. And the way he told his story made me want to remember it and to think about what it means to be locked in a certain kind of moment in time. So this is called Belfast Standard Time. There's no such thing, only the poem, except in the sense about the living nature of history, I suppose, and of loss. Belfast Standard Time. Whenever I was born in Belfast, whenever I grew up on the Shankill, the Falls, Newton Arts Road, whenever there was a bomb threat, whenever the RUC barricaded the street, insecurity, whenever I walked to school, I avoided the wall. Whenever I met a Catholic for the first time, I was already at university. Whenever we were burned out of our house, whenever we burned our fingers lighting the Pope for King Billy, whenever we hurled a petrol bomb, whenever we remembered the Psalm on Remembrance Day, whenever we neared the wall to lay the wreath, whenever we were spread-eagled and leaning against the wall, the rifle spreading us further, whenever I looked down to check the time on my wrist, whenever the bomb. I wished I could have told my father, whenever he was alive, how much I... Whenever I was thrown 300 feet, whenever I was blown out of my shoes, whenever I heard a woman wailing, I thought, why don't you shut your bloody mouth? Whenever I don't forgive them, whenever I hear the likes of them or statesmen shaking the hands of the Queen, I think of my father. Whenever he met me, whenever I came home, he took my hand so hard my whole body quaked. Whenever we came back from the funeral, my hand ached from shaking everyone else's hand. This is an entirely new poem, so I'm a little bit fearful to read. It's for Lyra McKee. I don't know if you heard of she's a young and promising journalist who was shot by the new knuckle draggers. And killed. And she was a real shining light, 29, and was really important for her exploration of intergenerational trauma. She did some stories on that. She was a journalist. And also talking about her own story of growing up queer and in the country. And so she was kind of a little bit of a mini celebrity, I suppose. And there she was behind a police line and got shot. So we visited Derry a week ago or so, and we kept hearing about everybody we met, the mayor, an old IRA guy, you know, murals on the wall. So this is for her, this is for Lyra. As if we just missed you, we kept hearing your name as we trod the ancient walls and mist-slicked streets of Derry. as if you were just around the corner, just up ahead of us, out of view, just past the next bend. Lyra, dear constellation, Latin for lyre, you lie in the northern sky. When Jerry talked about the new IRA, saying they were eejits firing a pistol at an armored car, from a generation who didn't know about demonstrations, you stood behind the police, the last place you'd be safe during a protest. Lyra, the lyre of Orpheus, who could charm even the stones with his songs, stones rioters would throw at cops to play their part in the long and violent story about belonging. With the Lord Mayor, a question about Lyra and his face falls. I was her first journalism mentor, encouraged her to be a reporter, he says. She died in my city, his voice one notch above whisper. Orpheus, who tucked his lyre and into the underworld descended to sing Eurydice from hell. For you used your words and voice to tell the story of the journey to belong to oneself, to tell the truth of love in a way that made a million listen. Even Hades was charmed enough to let Eurydice return to her life, provided Orpheus not look back until she crossed the portal to Earth. Lyra, even the gable-painted free dairy remembers you, asks you to rest in peace. We stood around your name so it could not be hidden in the photo. Orpheus in the dark, rising to light, could not be sure his love still trailed behind. He had to look back, and now no music could sing her back. His term over, the Lord Mayor told us his last official duty, deliver the book of condolence he'd opened for you, Lyra. I'll place it in the seat behind me, he says, and drive it down to Belfast and hand it to her mother. When Orpheus died, someone flung the lyre into a river, but God sent an eagle to pluck it from the raging waters and place it in the heavens, where on a clear-eyed and cloudless night, we'll see you as if for the first time. I wanted to honor it in some way. So this book, I think, really came out of the Abu Ghraib prison scandal revelations. But one of the things that I had learned along the way was the torture that was happening at the Guantanamo prison. So if you were torturing someone, what music would you play them?
Westlife.
Right? Westlife. What sort of question is it? Someone said country music. Yes, they did do that. Anything else?
Really? What kind of country? That's a very broad statement.
Country music.
Are we talking Kenny Rogers or?
true. One of the perverse things that they did in Guantanamo, among many other things, is subject prisoners to constant light and sound so that they couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And 24/7, and this causes derangement after a few days. But they played music as well as part of this constant sound. And some of the songs that they played were children's songs.
Oh.
Anybody familiar with the Sesame Street theme song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or the Barney theme song.
I love you, you love me.
There you go. So when I heard of the story of Muhammadu al-Salahi and the fact that he was bringing a legal case against the U.S. for torture, some of these songs were mentioned, and I started thinking about his predicament and wanted in some way to be with him and think about this situation, and so this poem came out of that. And I'll share a little bit more. You may have heard this name. Has anybody heard the name Muhammadu al-Salahi?
No.
I'm going to try to sing. My voice has been dead for 2 weeks, and probably dead before that, but I've had this terrible cold, so anyway. Here's the poem. In the cell of else, in the pitch white, someone's hands shackled between ankles and the nights, and sunny days, keeping the clouds, shaking the ribcage in a way to keep the music from entering and breaking. The bodies hit, let the bodies hit. Barney is a dinosaur. This is the touching without being touched. This is the being without silence. From our imagination, and wave upon wave and a shipping container and I love you and a box of shock. You love me in a cemented dream. We're a happy family with a great big hug and chains that leave no mark. Won't you say you love me too?
Wow.
Well done.
You didn't know you'd be having such a laugh riot on a poetry night, did you? I had to read this poem every time I gave a reading for about 5 years or so. And then this amazing thing happened, which is that this man, Muhammad Ould Salahi, who had brought this case against the government, had been learning English and wrote a memoir in the prison, which was published in 2015. Because of some just great work by his attorney. And it's called Guantanamo Diary. And if you ever want a really fascinating read, it's this, because you are never more convinced of the humanity of a person who's experienced this and the inhumanity of the system which has imprisoned him. He shows a remarkable amount of empathy for the guards who literally wept when they had to leave, when their tour of duty was over. And now, actually, he's free. He's back in Mauritania. I think that the pressure of not my poem, but his own writing and the advocacy of the people that that thought he was innocent helped him. So this story is a little bit of a happy ending. This is about flying while Arab. So back around 9/11, I remember a certain flight in which, right after Richard Reed had tried to light a shoe on fire, people were pretty anxious on flights, and I saw someone looking at me like I was a crazy person, and I didn't say anything, so I had to write a poem about it. On the flight overseas, the rows dotted with isolados, each an island of eyes, I was looking for, looking like. What outside is a cross, inside is a window. A white woman across the aisle eyed me the entire flight, her gaze widened and neck craned as I, her eyes slowly removed, her eyes, my shoes. What can I say? Sometimes I'm afraid I'm carrying a bomb. That I'm a sleeper and don't know when I'll awaken. I should have said, identity isn't an end. It's a portal, a deportation from the country of mirrors. An inflection within a question. Punctuation in the sentence of birth. I said nothing. Later, visiting a Quaker meeting, I sat among scattered chairs. On the shores of breathing, all eyes shut, I waited. Silence, our rudder. Silence, our harbor. You guys need to be, I don't know, happy now. So can I read you something that's happier?
Quiet, please.
Okay. This is a translation of an Iraqi poet named Fadl al-Zawi. And this involves a little audience participation. So every time I say a toast, I would like you to say a toast. And if you have a beverage and you would care to lift it in toast fashion, that would be wonderful. Toasts by Fadl al-Zawi. Even though I am drunk and sad and can barely talk, please allow me to propose another toast. A toast. To the blind who see in the dark. A toast.
A toast.
To the mute who talk to God on the mountain. A toast.
A toast.
To the deaf who listen to the music of eternity. A toast.
A toast.
To the poet who steals fire from the gods. A toast.
A toast.
To God who create a better world the next time around. A toast.
A toast.
To Satan losing his bet and returning to hell. A toast.
A toast.
To the beloved waiting on the shore. A toast.
A toast.
To the deceiver who does not whisper evil in people's hearts. A toast.
A toast.
To the noose that bends to the hangman's neck. A toast.
A toast.
To the torturer who flogs himself. A toast.
A toast.
To the victim who rises from her torment. A toast.
A toast.
To the homeland with rivers running beneath. A toast.
A toast
to exile that does not defeat us. A toast.
A toast
to the world and all its collectivity. A toast,
toast.
To the despots we will hire as museum guards. A toast,
a toast
to the tree with roots so deep in the earth. A toast,
a toast
to the moon listening to a lover's lament. A toast,
a toast
to the planet still rumbling since the Big Bang. A toast,
a toast
to heaven on earth right now. A toast,
a toast
to hell pouring concrete over her closed gates. A toast,
a toast
to the past as it tells us all its memories. A toast,
a toast
to the present gushing like a river in the streets. A toast,
a toast
to a future we'll climb without ladders. A toast,
a toast
to this beautiful short life. Maybe one more. Is that good? Yeah, one
more.
One more. Yeah. So, okay. It's a little prayer for you. A little prayer poem. So Dave and I should just say this is my moment of being a salesperson. We have a bunch of books, and we got to get back on these flights, and we would love to. Home them.
Everything must go.
Everything must go. It's a fire sale. Dave's book, Weather, must go. My book, Sand Opera, must go. And it would be so happy in your houses to be find a little place in a corner. I would be so happy if you were interested. So they're up here.
They're just the right size if you've got a piece of furniture that's just a little bit off.
Perhaps a door that sometimes closes because of the wind.
Yeah.
We can maybe you need two for that, but it might work.
Don't push it.
So thank you again so much. This poem came out of a longing to write a prayer because so many of the prayers that I inherited felt old and didn't necessarily speak to the longing in me. You know, like I think of. Hail Mary, full of grace, and I'm a sinner, and I'm going to die. And you know, like, I'm like, really? Okay, that's it? All right. So, or, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So this is after a Muslim prayer called devotional. Light my face, and light the flesh of my flesh. Light each my eyes and light inside my sight. Light the light that makes me light in the bones and in my hands light and in my loins light. And light your light before and behind me, above and beneath me. Light to my right and light to left. Light to my enemies who in the moral dark will use my light against me. Light the dull swords of my ribs, the thick fist within. Light the blood-hot rooms pulsing there. Light the gates when they swing wide to the stranger. Light, more light on my tongue. In the light, more light in the black light. And when it's time to snuff this wick, light that light. Thank you.